15:17, he says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Proverbs 16:8 says this, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues with justice. Psalm 37:16 says this, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. So the very little bit that a righteous man has is much more valuable than the riches of many, many wicked people. And then this is one you really know. Mark 8:37 says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Because the whole world is not more valuable than a man's soul. So I read these passages to set the stage for tonight's message, because the word of God says that a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman is hard to find. For if you find one, she's worth far more than many expensive, precious stones. The word of God tells us in Proverbs 31 that a virtuous woman is priceless. She is a rare jewel. And the worldview is completely against Proverbs 31, because if they encountered a woman of the caliber of Proverbs 31, they would have a lot of things to say about her. They would say that she's an abused woman. She is a woman that's being used. They would call a woman like this a fool, or they would say she is dumb, or she's a slave to her husband. I tell you this, they would call her anything but what Proverbs 31 calls her, and that's blessed. They would call her anything but blessed. So I've chose this tonight because I want to be an equal opportunity preacher. I preach to the men, so I want to preach to the women tonight. And feminism would tell a woman who lives like this, what feminism would tell her is that you're in bondage and you're deprived a bit of your rights as a woman. What about your future? What about your career? What about your life? You know, you've got a life to live, too. And liberalistic and feministic pressure is all around you in this society, and it's all around you to cause you to try to conform to its philosophy of life. And that's one side of the story. Now, here's the other side of the story. This is the spiritual side of the story. Christian women, especially married ones who are just plain old housewives and they raise kids and they're just simply good mothers, they feel useless in the kingdom of God. And the reason I say this is because Satan comes and he plants the thought, well, you know, I'm useless in God's kingdom. I need to be doing something. What does God want me to be? Well, cheer up. Tonight, I've got the answer for you. What does God want you to do? Look at Genesis chapter 3. We can answer that, can't we? Y'all with me tonight? We can answer that. What does God want you to be? After Adam and Eve fell in the garden, this is what the Lord said to the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow with conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. He said, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then I want you to turn to Titus chapter 2. This is what God wants you to be. This is why I'm telling you that the worldview is the exact opposite of the word of God. Titus chapter 2. Verse 4, this is what the Apostle Paul told Titus, that they admonished the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. This is God's call for them, you know, when they get married. He said to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. What does God want you to do? Well, number one, God wants you to glorify him in all areas of your life. But God wants you to cook, to clean, to tend to your husband and children, to love your husband and children. That's God's call for your life. God will give you opportunities to witness and to minister and do spiritual things. But God is very pleased with you if you do what we read in Proverbs 31:27, as we read later, that she watches well over the ways of her household and she does not eat the bread of idleness. So I want to say this to the women tonight, especially the married women. Don't let the world tell you that you're useless and lazy because you don't go out and work. Because I've heard that over and over again, you know, because you're not a businesswoman or because you don't have a career. You are a businesswoman, but your business is at home. And that's your place of employment. A lot of them do not go out and work because they don't want to cook and clean and deal with kids 24 hours a day. and their poor husbands live on fast foods as well as their kids, and they have to, on top of that, they have to live to a contentious, unsubmitted woman. Number two, don't let Satan tell you that you're not spiritual. Are y'all with me? Don't let Satan tell you you're not spiritual. He said you are flat in God's will if you're being a housewife and a keeper of the home. All these women in ministry, according to the word of God, they are in disobedience. Because the word of God said a woman is to learn in silence and she's not to usurp authority over a man. She's not to teach. So being spiritual has nothing to do with just knowledge, but it has to do with obedience. And obeying what you know is what constitutes obedience. Romans 12 says we need to constantly renew our minds with the word of God. If we don't, brethren, we will fall into this trap of the world, is this worldview. Now, look at the damage that has been done by getting the woman out of the home. We live in a prosperous country. People live a lot better than they used to. Big houses, fancy cars, swimming pools, more vacations, you name it. But is it worth it at the price of broken homes, unbelievable divorce rates, kids with one or no parent, and millions of abortions each year because of illicit sex? Kids grow up with morals that are molded by daycare centers and the TV. Now you tell me what's worth it, a virtuous woman or riches? Just compare the two and see what the results are. Because the feministic thought has gotten deep into the churches, and I believe the damage has been done that will never be corrected. But Proverbs 31 is a challenge for all women sitting here tonight, whether you're married or unmarried. And you young women who hope someday to be married, this is what God wants you to be when you read in Proverbs 31. And for you young men who hope to get married, this had better be the kind of woman you're looking for. Because if you don't have to worry about going on a diet. You won't eat much. Or either you'll have to go on a diet because you live on fast foods all the time. So one or the other. But you need to get a woman that's gold is to be molded in this type of virtue. And you need to stop gauging outward appearance as the world does, but you need to look at the hidden man of the heart. We live in a society that is in body worship and everything else, and they overlook the heart of what a person's all about. Character and content means nothing anymore. And if you don't watch it as a young man or even a young woman, you start looking at people from outward things, and you miss the virtuous part of a person, and you miss their character, and you make the biggest mistake you ever made in your life. Well, what does it mean to be virtuous? In the Hebrew language, basically it means strength. In the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz calls Ruth a virtuous woman, meaning that she was a worthy woman. And at the time he called her a virtuous woman, she wasn't married, she was a widow at this time. So even though the woman is the weaker vessel, a virtuous woman is a woman of strength. She's a woman of valor. This is a woman that's made strong by wisdom, by grace, and by the fear of God. How is she strong? She's strong in the sense that she has command over her own spirit. She's pious. She's industrious. She fears the Lord. She's a woman of resolution who has a good principle, and she's firm and steady to the principles that she has. Many that seem to be virtuous over a period of time prove out not to be so. It takes a strong woman to walk in the fear of the Lord without compromise and without complaint. It takes a strong woman to be content in her God-ordained role as a woman or a wife. It takes a strong woman to be content simply to be served and to be submitted to her husband. And that's why the virtuous woman is a woman of valor and strength. She's an abled woman. And then I want you to read with me Proverbs chapter 12. This is a blessing for you men. Proverbs chapter 12. A virtuous woman, or an excellent wife, as he says here, she's the crown of her husband. Y'all with me? You men ought to be saying amen, because I mean, this could be trouble for you. She's the crown of her husband. And you know, you've heard the saying behind every good man is a good woman. I believe that. Because if his wife is a blur on his record, then people don't look up to him as a good man. And I can give you one proof of a former president that was in the United States. I feel like that he didn't have a good wife. And it was a blur on him, even though the way he was. But still, he didn't have a good wife. So you really can't respect a man like you should respect him when you see situations like that. but a woman is a crown to an excellent wife is a crown of her husband. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And then the second part of it says, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. So I want to quote, give you a quote of what a man said. He said, a man that is blessed with a good wife is as happy as if he were upon a throne, for she is no less than a crown to him. And then he says a crown. The crown he talks about here speaks of honor and dignity and authority. So he says a man that is blessed with a good wife is as happy as he is on a throne. She is no less than a crown to him. His wife is pious, she's prudent, she's industrious, she is active for the good of her family and others. She bears her crosses daily without murmuring or complaining, and she is not a powder. Y'all with me? She owns her husband as the head. She is a credit and an honor to her husband. She obeys Ephesians 5:22-24, which says that she's to submit to her husband as if unto the Lord. And she supports and she keeps up his authority in the house or in the family as a crown, is as an ensign of power. She is submissive and faithful to her husband, and by her example, she teaches her children and her servants to be the same way. Now, back in these days, they did have servants that worked for them, and she guarded the integrity of her husband in the home and away from the home. So the proverb says that an excellent wife, Proverbs 12:4 says an excellent wife is a crown to her husband. So I'll say that to you, the men, this morning. If you're married to a woman like that, you better get on your knees and thank God for that undeserved crown that he put on your head. Because a lot of men don't deserve an excellent wife because they don't treat her like she's one. Are y'all with me? But people respect you. I'm talking to the men now, because she submits to you and respects you. And the reason why you rule your household well is because of her. That's why. Because if you didn't have an excellent wife, you could not rule your house well. There's no way you could. If she's giving you all kind of trouble and she's rottenness to your bones, there's no way in the world you can rule your house well. And there's no way you can walk into community with the crown on your head. Everything everybody thinks good about, all men per se, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the world, where you work and everything else, it's because of the kind of wife that you've got. Because if she's writing this to your bones, you better believe the world knows it. And that's what takes the crown off your head. Well, let's look at the opposite woman, because Proverbs says this, Proverbs 12:4. She who causes shame is rottenness to her husband's bones. Now, I'm going to read you another quote. He says that he that is plagued with a bad wife is as miserable as if he were on a dunghill. In other words, he that is plagued with a bad wife is as miserable if he's sitting on a pile of manure. Because he's saying here that she is no better than rottenness in his bones, which is an incurable disease. Besides that, she makes him ashamed. He says she is silly, she's slothful, she's wasteful, she's wanton, she's ill-tongued. She ruins both the credit and the comfort of her husband. And he says the faults of his wife cause him to hang his head, and he is continually uneasy. Now, this type of woman is not hard to find. And this type of woman is absolutely worthless. And I hate to say it today, but this type of woman is everywhere. Society is full of it. Women of this age are taught to contend with their husbands instead of being a crown to their husbands. They're taught to contend with their husbands. Just like I said, that feminism has really gotten into church. And as I told you men, when I preached to you men, it's really gotten into our hearts. And we've all been stung by it to a certain extent. But You can't be conformed by the world, but you got to be conformed by what the Word of God says. And the Word of God calls all women to be a crown to their husbands. And a lot of women will say, you don't understand my husband. Yeah, I understand, because I'm one. I know they're hard-headed and everything else, but God says be a crown to them anyway. And that just proves more of the kind of Christian that you really are. Let's read some scriptures in Proverbs. You'll get a kick out of these. Proverbs 21. You'll really get a kick out of some of them. This is the truth, though. I'm not kidding with you when I tell you that the world is full of women like this. Proverbs 21:19. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. In other words, if a woman is contentious and argumentative and angry, and she's a continual whiner, a man will be better off dwelling in the wilderness, exposed to wind and weather, than while in company with her. It's more peace, one man says, amongst wild beasts than a mouthy woman. And my answer to this is that no wonder they sell millions of dollars worth of camping equipment each year. Because this world is full of them. A lot of men go camping. I'm serious. And I'm going to tell you something. I know you're laughing, but this goes for men too, because some men get so moody and crazy, they make the wife want to go to the wilderness. Because men can be worse than women sometimes. And they can be pouty, and they can be mouthy, and they can be, real angry about a lot of things, and they want to go to the wilderness just to get some peace. And that's why he said in Proverbs, you'd be better off dwelling in the wilderness than to be dwelling with a contentious woman. Proverbs chapter 27. We laugh because we know it's true. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. So a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a continuous woman are alike. You know, drip, drip, drip. One man used to say, lip, lip, lip. Ever had a dripping faucet in your house? It will run you crazy till you get it stopped. And it just keeps dripping and dripping and dripping. So you can imagine how a contentious woman is. She's worse than a dripping faucet. In Proverbs 27:16 says she's unrestrainable. You can't hide her. You can't conceal her any more than you could the wind when it blows. Then Proverbs 21:9 says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman. And then 21:19 says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with an angry, contentious woman. A woman who talks back, a woman who argues with her husband, can be a nightmare. Because God called her to be his helpmeet and not to run the show. And my dear sisters, if you sit here tonight, if you do this, you're sinning against God's word. It's a lack of submission to God. And I admit tonight, some men are hard to submit to, but you've got to do it because the word of God commands you to submit to him, whether he's a good man or whether he's a bad man. And when you submit to your husband, you submit to him because you love him. You submit to him because you trust him, because you submitted to him, because it's God's will that you submit to him. That's the main thing, is that it's God's will. And I know it's hard to do with some men, but God has called you to do that, because it doesn't do you any good to be contentious, a contentious woman, just because you've got a bad husband. The world is full of women who act like this, and the word of God tells you to be not conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way you're transformed is you have to get in the word of God and see what God's word tells you how you to be in your house with your husband and with your children. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. It tells you what to do, say that you've got an unsaved husband. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3. I know it's hard in situations. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll read some of this later on, but it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even as some do not obey the word, that they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So the life you live around them is a witness to them, and they can be won by the type of life that you live around them, even though they are unsaved. So now I want to look at the traits and the characteristics of a virtuous woman. Let's go to back to Proverbs 31. The traits and the characteristics. We're going to look at about five of them. It's a long chapter, but you could read it at home. You know what it says in a lot of ways. But how many of you women tonight aspire to this? To be a Proverbs 31 woman. Now, don't be ashamed. Just say, I want to be one. That should be your goal. I think our problem in life is that we don't set our goals where God wants to set them. You said, I could never get there. You can get there with the help of God. Amen. But the thing about it is, you're not trying to go to this goal to try to be great in anybody's eyes. You just want to get here to please God. Because the word of God says this is the kind of woman that you can be. And this is the kind of woman that you should be. A woman like this is a Christ-like woman. You know, a lot of times we talk about being spiritual and things like this. People don't understand what being spiritual is. Being spiritual is being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a virtuous woman, to be like this, she has to have Christ in her heart, ruling and reigning over her life. Well, Proverbs 31:11 says this, the heart of her husband safely trust her. So the first thing we see about a virtuous woman, she's trustworthy. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She makes it her business to please her husband. Her desire is to know her husband's mind, and she's willing that he should rule over her. His confidence in his wife is because of the way that she conducts herself. His wife, he knows his wife, that she's chaste, she's modest. He knows that his wife is not a flirt. She's a woman of prudence and discretion in all the affairs of her life and in the midst of all companies that they may be in. She won't embarrass her husband, nor will she bring reproach upon his name. One thing she will not do is she won't betray his counsels, nor will she have interest outside the family. In Proverbs 31:12, the next verse says this, that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In other words, if he has to leave, she's still about the business of the family. She's not the type of woman that says this, if the cat's away, the mouse will play. She doesn't do that. She's still about the business of the family. She will not do away with his integrity while he's gone. She will do him good all the days of her life. You know, she's not like the woman in Proverbs 7 that was the harlot. And she says, my husband's away on the journey. And, you know, and she seduced the young man to come into her house and things like that. She's not a woman like that. Her husband can safely trust her. Her husband can trust her with credit cards. Well, her husband can trust her with the checkbook. I'm just saying things to everyday life. He can trust her with a checkbook. Her husband can trust her with a TV in the house. Her husband can trust her with the vehicles. Her husband can trust her with everything he's got because he sees her conduct in the house. She's about the business of the house. She's about the good of her husband and about the good of her family. She's not there trying to destroy the family. I know one man's wife that ran up 7 credit cards to the max. And my first thought was that is I would really deal with that. She would never buy anything else the rest of her life. 7 credit cards at the max of $7,000 to $10,000. And every time he pays them off, she goes back and does it again. That's not a woman you can trust. That's a woman who's got some serious problems. And she's not out for the good of her family because she can ruin him financially for the rest of his life. And so she's a woman that you can trust with the things you have. She's a woman that you can trust with credit cards, the checkbook, and all these things. You can trust her because of her conduct in the house. She will do him good all the days of her life. She will not do him evil. Second thing about this woman, Proverbs 31:13, this woman is a worker. She's a worker. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. This woman is industrious. She's diligent. She cooks. She sews. She cleans. She provides food and clothing for her household. Her family is well fed and well dressed. If you sit an iron in front of this woman, she doesn't ask you, what is that? There's guys that I work with, they don't know what a crease is in your pants. You know, she irons everything I got, and I'm always teasing. I said, I'm going to find the most rough dry shirt I got and wear it to church. She won't let me because she thinks her girls are going to get on here if I wear this shirt. And I'm always teasing, I'm going to wear this thing. But what it is she likes to iron clothes and things like this. Well, the guys that I work with, their wives will not wash, they barely wash their clothes. They don't want to iron their clothes. They do not cook. I can't understand that. But I can't understand that, to be married. And a lot of them's wives do not work. But her family is well-fed, they're well-dressed, and she's not the type of woman who sleeps half the day and watches TV the rest of the day. She's a diligent woman. She looks well into the ways of her household. This woman is not a lazy slob. And sometimes her work, as she says in Proverbs, goes well on into the night. I know a lot of you women, you know, you homeschool. And by the time you homeschool, and by the time you wash clothes, and by the time you cook, you think you want a job? That's 24 hours right there. And, you know, most people say, well, you know, women that stay at home, they don't do anything. These women are up all night long. Babies wake you up in the middle of the night and things like that.
When me and my wife was there and I had to work, I put her and the babies in another room so they could get up at night. I had to get up and go to work the next morning because I never would have gotten any sleep. But I mean, women are up tending to babies all night long, feeding and, you know, schooling, homeschooling, trying to do all this stuff. You do work. And this woman right here, she's a worker. She looks well into the ways of her family. And it's unheard of in the society what we live in right now. If you build a new house anymore, you have to tell them to put a kitchen in there because they don't even put them in hardly anymore. I walked in this little corner in one. I said, that's a dining room. That's a closet. That's not even a little thing. I said, put a dining room in here. We put a table in this thing. People don't eat at home no more. If they took McDonald's away and all that, a lot of women would be in sad shape because they are not workers. This woman was a worker. And when you talk back in the days of Proverbs and on back into the Old Testament, women carried water. They worked in the fields. They really worked hard, you know. But they were diligent in what God called them to do. Number three, I like this. She's a woman of pity and compassion. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. In other words, in the midst of all her busyness and responsibility, she finds time to help the poor and those in need. This woman is not a selfish woman. She's always lending a helping hand. And just to give you a little exhortation here, if you're a woman in the church and you're single and maybe you don't have kids and things like that, there's plenty of ministry around. And there's plenty of people that need help. Just like some of your dear sisters that got more than one or two kids, they have small ones. There's times that you can give them help and give them a hand. The nursery always needs a hand. Our nurseries are completely full. And you can give a helping hand. There's plenty of ministry to do. There's plenty of people just in this church right here that are going through afflictions that you can help them. And that's the kind of woman this Proverbs woman was, because she was reaching out a helping hand always to the poor and to the afflicted. So women, you need to quit crying that you want to minister and just get out and minister. Cook, help. Reach out a helping hand. Somebody that's poor, do something for them, because you can do that. That's the kind of woman this woman was. And ministry is this. Ministry is showing love and compassion where you're denying yourself to help other people. And that's what ministry is all about. And so virtuous women are priceless because they wade in and they help others at the expense of themselves. And they wade in and help others at the expense of their lives. And that's what this woman did. She reached out and she helped the poor. And she was not afraid to use her hands to help those who were in need. Fourth thing it says about her in Proverbs 31:22, she makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. In other words, this woman right here was a modest woman. This woman dressed to please God and to please her husband. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. She was a modest woman. We read a little bit of this. I want to pick it up in verse 3. He said, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about this modesty. In verse 9, he says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And then he goes on to say, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. But he talks about that she's a modest woman. Her body is for her husband, and her body is not for public display. A virtuous woman, now listen to me, a virtuous woman does all in her power not to attract attention to herself. The adornment of a virtuous woman is the hidden person of the heart. And the beauty of a virtuous woman is incorruptible, because it's that gentle and quiet spirit which is very precious in the sight of God. Let me say this tonight, brethren. In this country, beauty is a curse to many women. Because the first thing they do is when they find out that they're beautiful and they may have a decent figure or whatever else, they go on display for the world. They put their bodies on display. And to you single women, I can tell you today, 1 Corinthians 6:13 says your body belongs to the Lord, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you belong to God and you're not your own. A lot of clothes that they make today for women are designed to make men lust. Are y'all with me tonight? They're designed to make men lust. They come from Hollywood because Hollywood is lust. And that's where they come from. And the women of this world win men with their bodies. Y'all with me? With their bodies. Godly women win men with their virtue and their Christ-likeness. And that's what you better win them with. Because young women by the thousands fall prey to the immodesty of this world. And what it does, it leads to the road of destruction. And I am amazed at the lack of shame that women have in the world today. And the virtuous woman will do all in her power to make sure that she's not on public display for the world. Because most of the women of the world today, and I thought about it today, they can do everything to make you look good. They can do these makeover things. You can wear weave haircuts and all this crazy stuff they got to make you look like you really don't look. Nobody in this world is satisfied with themselves. They spend billions of dollars in Hollywood to get your face lifted, nose cut off, ears rearranged, and everything else, trying to look like somebody else. That's the kind of world we live in right now. And if you don't watch it, even as a Christian, you can get bit by some of that. But a virtuous woman, it's got this hidden beauty. And I'll tell you, young men, again, that's what you better be looking for.
Amen.
That's what you better be looking for. Because that body will fade away. That pretty face will get some wrinkles and everything. It'll fade away. And this is what a lot of women want men to choose them for, because of the way they look and not for what they really are. So she's a modest woman. She's a woman that wants to please God in the way she dresses, and she's a woman that wants to please her husband in the way she dresses. I told my wife the other day, some of these young women that just strip and get on these books or whatever else stuff they get on, do they have no shame in front of their parents? Do they have parents? You know, if you open a magazine and your daughter's in there completely stripped naked, I mean, you know, what would you do? Well, I'd get a gun going looking for man. You know what I mean? This world has accepted, oh, she's famous and she's great and she's a model and everything else, putting her whole body on display for this world. A virtuous woman, she wants to please God and she wants to please her husband. And she dresses to please them two right there, and she doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Y'all with me? And I see that as a major problem in the world today. And you young women sitting here today, if you win a man with your body, you haven't won much. You know why? Because anybody could have won him. But if you win him with the hidden person of the heart, he's looking for character. He's looking for a woman that will love God. He's looking for a woman that wants to be maybe a woman that's like his mother. Maybe he has a virtuous mother. He's looking for a woman who wants to follow the Lord, fear God, and serve him. Because if he's looking at your body, if that's what he's looking for, if that's the way you win him, I feel sorry for you down the road. I've seen it over and over and over again. I hate to say them kind of things. It's embarrassing, but it's the truth. A virtuous woman, she's a modest woman. And she dresses and she carries herself in a way that will please God and in a way that will please her husband. Number 5, she speaks with wisdom. Proverbs 31:26. He says here that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is kindness. Now, a virtuous woman is not a talebearer, nor is she a gossip, nor does she bear false witness, nor does she speak lies. A virtuous woman is not rude and impatient. She has as we've read all these scriptures, she has a meek and a quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. A virtuous woman does not eat the bread of idleness, because she knows that, this is what a virtuous woman knows, that if she's not doing something, the devil will find her something to do. So she doesn't sit idle all day. She teaches good things to the younger women. If she's got, you know, young girls at home, she teaches good things to them, and she raises them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or young men or whatever else is home. She speaks that which edifies with much wisdom and comfort. But she's not a woman who is unwise with her mouth. She speaks with much wisdom. Now, I only wanted to give you five tonight because that's basically what a virtuous woman does. Other things there. But I feel like all Christian women should aim at this blessed role model. When you read Proverbs 31, it talks about how she excels. This is a woman that fears the Lord. And the reason why she lives like this is because she is washed in the blood of Christ. Now turn with me back to Proverbs 31 again, because I want to read verse 28. How many of you believe this woman is a blessed woman? She's hard to find. She's hard to find. Proverbs 38, verse 28. It said, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. He says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Then he says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, her family praises her and calls her blessed. Her children pray for her and they give her great commendations and they bless God that they had such a good mother. Her husband praises her and he speaks of her as the best of women, and he gives her double respect and honor because the woman that she is. She gets the good word of her neighbors, the same as Ruth did in Ruth 3:11. All the city knew this woman to be a virtuous woman. And verse 30 says that a woman that fears the Lord, basically he's saying here, not only will she have the praise of her family, but she will have the praise of God. And that's Romans 2:29. You can read that scripture. She'll have the praise of God. Proverbs 31:29, he says, many daughters have done well or have done virtuously, but she excels them all. Virtuous women are precious jewels, and a good wife, even if she be, if a good wife is virtuous, she excels all other wives in the world. The world we live in praises many above what they're due, but they who praise her give her only but what's due to the fruit of her hands. They give a virtuous woman what she has dearly earned and which is justly due to her. Her own works shall praise her in the gates, openly before all people. And a virtuous woman does not court the praise or the applause of men, because her good works will proclaim her praise. And as we close down tonight, just to the young women in here tonight, especially if you're unsaved, the first step to being a virtuous woman is to believe on Christ. You don't stand a chance if you don't know Him. He's got to change your heart. You must be washed in His blood. And I believe that not only this, but the virtuous woman should be the aim of every woman in this room. And for not only those who are not saved, but to save women, it's going to take the power of the Spirit of God in your life and heart to even desire such an honor. And I know Pastor Jim tells us all the time that we need to pray to be filled with the Spirit of God. We don't pray that enough. But if you want to be like this woman right here, and if you want to reach the biblical model right here, we have to be Spirit-filled people, filled with the Spirit of God every day in our lives. What about a virtuous woman? I named this thing far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman, who can find? Because they're very, very rare in this world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You tonight that You have so blessed us with Your holy word. And Father, we thank You for the women that we have in this church who are brave and courageous with the gospel and who love their husbands and who love their children. And I ask tonight as I pray, Father, as a pastor, that You will give our women strength to not be influenced by the worldview, but to be influenced by Your holy word. We pray, Father, that You will cause them to walk in the dignity and honor of Your word and not to be ashamed of what Your word says, but because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We pray that You will use these women as a witness to the world and that You will give them the grace they need in the days that we live to be virtuous women, to love their husbands and to love their children. Father, we thank You that You so loved us that You sent Christ, and we ask it all in His holy name. Amen.
Amen.